Thank you. All right. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21, if you would, please. Oh, I love you too. And hey, just don't call me your favorite teacher. Just give me a good survey. That's all I ask. All right. Well, we're not farming right now, but I will one day, okay? And take your Bibles, if you would. Luke chapter 21. I was riding with my 10-year-old son last Saturday, and we kind of spent the day together, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he says, Pap, what are you getting Nana for Christmas? And I said, well, I got her a few things, and I said, I'm still looking for something special. And here he's just about 10 and a half, and he starts in, and he says, you know, maybe if you go to Kohl's, now they have perfume, and they have necklaces, and they had all kinds, and they got coats and stuff, and if you go to Penny's, they got these, and he's, here I'm taking lessons from a 10-year-old on what to buy a girl for Christmas, you know. But this is time of year where we're all looking at what we're going to get and what we're going to give for Christmas. Some of you will be heading home, most of you will, and I trust that you'll have a wonderful, wonderful holiday and a great time. And girls, thank you for that song. It was well done, and what a blessed song it is. And I love the Christmas season. I love the gift giving. I love the gift receiving, more so receiving than giving, but I enjoy giving gifts. I love the fact, more than anything else, that the whole world is forced to think of Jesus Christ. Amen. And they don't have to like him, but they got to think about him right now, right? And they can't help but hear a song like that and enjoy the music, but they're also hearing about Jesus Christ. And I love that more than anything else. You were drive through St. John. It's the Catholics that are doing it, but there are manger scenes on about every corner. A local businessman has provided those every year. And you know what? I enjoy it. I'm glad they're doing it because it's in everybody's face. And to not believe in the Son of God is a purposeful act. It's something that you have to make yourself do. And people who go to hell won't go to hell on accident. They'll go to hell on purpose. And I don't wish for any of them, but you choose not to go to heaven. Right. And I think this time of year, I just love it and thankful for it. A lot of great things going on. And one of the great times of the year is your final exams, amen? And just better you than me. And I am glad to be on this end of final exams, the giving of them instead of getting them. Last written test, Brother Mitchell, that I took was for my CDL several years ago. And I walked in, and I just took it, and didn't even open the book, because I've been driving for a long time. I knew it all, and I flunked it miserably. And I had to come back a week or so later and take it, and I was so nervous. I was soaking wet. My hands were shaking. And I passed it, and only missed two, but I remember, I just hate taking tests. And so I look at this time of the year, and I'm so glad that you're here taking those tests and not me. I wanted you to look at the story here in Luke chapter 21, and I want you to look in verse 1, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have given their abundance, cast into the offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. You know, it's an amazing story, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, a short one. But Jesus gives a very vivid example of somebody that had very little but gave all. And I do believe that God looks at percentages. I do believe that God looks at what we have and what we give. Let's pray, and I'll jump into the message this morning. Father, what a blessing it is to be here. I thank you for the good things that you've allowed us to partake of at this college. I sure do love this school. just enjoyed hearing the kids sing just a few moments ago. I know that pleased Jesus Christ. I enjoyed our Christmas program last Sunday. Look forward to it again this coming Sunday. Because I do believe with all my heart, it brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And help us now with the message. May it be applied to all of our hearts, mine too. In Jesus' name, amen. I can look back at the things that I have been given over the years, and I've been given a lot of special gifts, and some mean more to me than others, and there are some that gifts that were just very, very appropriate and right and at the right time, but the gift that I remember most of all, and I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I know I was about maybe 10 or 11. J.C. Penney's had come out in their catalog with a Crossman pellet gun, BB pellet gun. And it came out, it was the very first year it came out, and it was the one they still produce today. It was pumped, you pump it up to 10 times, and they still make that BB gun, and all these years later. And Brother Mitchell was saying before we walked out that he was the youngest guy on the platform. And so this was a few years ago, long even before him. But I do remember Brother Mitchell, by the way. I do remember back when you were young, and he was a young, skinny tour group member. I remember in high school even. Get this. You went to Mexico with me, right? And this is the truth. And he was a young, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, skinny little white boy, and we're in Mexico. And all these Mexican girls were just running up to him. We're in these mountain villages. They're running up to him. And they're staring into his eyes. And what in the world? I said, what's he got that we don't have? And they just loved the blonde hair and the blue eyes. And some of the villages that we went, they never saw. You still got blue eyes? No, they're kind of green, huh? And, but no, they did, but they don't run up to him anymore. And he is reaching that age of maturity now to where, anyhow, he's becoming like us. But I do remember that gift, and I remember my parents, you know, I saw the box, and it was I knew it had to be it. And I remember getting that box and opening it up, running outside and running up the street to my friend Mike's house, and he and I hunted together a lot, and he had a pellet gun and not a Crossman. And I just remember his face when he opened the door and he saw my new pellet gun. And then we shot up everything. We shot things we weren't supposed to shoot. But I literally wore that gun out a couple years later. I remember for another Christmas, I got a 22. And I just remember taking that, shooting everything. There wasn't anything within a mile of my house that didn't have a bullet hole in it. And it was a lot of fun. I told you about down here, Iliana Racetrack, my freshman or sophomore year in high school. Jimmy Wilson, who graduated this college, he lived there, and we were out shooting our 22s in his backyard. He had a big lot there next to the Iliana Racetrack that used to be there, and by Roarman Park. And we sat in this tanker truck that had been just abandoned there on the third corner curve of the racetrack. There are no corners in a racetrack. The third curve there. We sat and we shot. I had a box of 522 shells, and we just shot for hours. And in the infield of the track, there was this antique car that was just junked there. And it was sitting there and about 200-300 yards away. And I said, Jimmy, let's see if we can hit that. And for hours, we shot into that car. We were kind of done shooting, sitting up there talking, and we're just shooting the breeze. And all of a sudden, I saw this guy walk out from underneath the bleachers and across the track. And we just were talking, and I'm looking over there and watching him. He crosses into the infield. And this is a true story. He opens the door of that car, and he gets in, and he starts it up. And we see him driving off. We look at each other. We threw our guns in the weeds and climbed down off the truck, ran, and we stayed in his house for several hours looking for cops and waiting for people to come, but nothing ever happened. I know we had to put 300 holes in that truck, in that car. We shot out the headlights. We shot out the mirror. We shot out the windshield. We shot out everything we could find on that car. And racetrack is no longer there. The statute of limitations is up, so I can use it as an illustration. But we've all received gifts that have been very important to us. We've all given gifts that we hoped were very important to others. This lady goes to the temple, and she's giving of an offering. And to everybody in that room, it meant nothing. But when Jesus saw it, it meant everything. It meant everything. To where he stops and he says, guys, look at that. And they probably looked with a smirk thinking, wow, well, she had more to give. And Jesus says, you know, she gave more than anybody else here. In fact, more than everybody put together. And they said, what? That doesn't make sense to us. And Jesus said, you know, she gave of all that she had. They gave of what they could, what they felt like. You know, when you look at the gift giving and you look at the things in life that God has given us, how much do we give back? How much do we give back? You know, I was thinking about this a while back, that I believe God has given you and I and every Christian in this world everything that is needed and everything that is necessary, every talent, every ability, every dime that is needed to win the world to Christ. But we won't give it back. We won't give it back. We thought God gave it to us to keep. Just like God gave that widow her mites there, she probably, when she got it, she probably thought, well, this is all I have. God gave this to me to keep. I've got to buy bread with it. I've got to buy some food with it. And this is all that I have. But no, God gave it to her to give back. To give back. You know, most people feel like when you give, you know, it's more of a surrender than a sacrifice. And you know what? Quite often we use the term surrender. I've used it hundreds and thousands of times in preaching. And I understand what I mean by it, and I understand what you mean when you hear it. You surrender to preach, or you surrender to go to Bible college, or you surrender your life to the Lord. We understand what that means. It's terminology that we use all the time, but the word's not found in the King James Bible. There are references to it, but the word surrender is not found. But the word sacrifice is. And it's found a lot. And I think when we give to God, I think God will take a surrender, no doubt about it. And there are things in my life that I've given to the Lord that I surrender to give. Because surrender has a connotation of fight. Surrender has a connotation of a battle of some kind. And the universal sign of surrender is this right here, right? My hands are open. I've got nothing in it. I will not do thee any harm. I cannot hurt you without my hands. And that's the universal sign. And so we understand what we say when we say that and what we mean. But when we give our life to God, God will take a surrender, because some of you have fought God. And there will be times in your life where you will continue to fight him. But I think more than surrender, God loves a sacrifice. One of the great stories in Scripture is the story, you know, of Abraham and Isaac. A story that in Genesis 22, you don't have to turn to it. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, behold, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? This kid wasn't quite understanding what was about to happen here. And he knew there was an offering. They'd carried probably a pail of coal up there, and we have fire with us, and we brought a load of wood. But where is the offering? Where is the sacrifice? And his father says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And it was just a few minutes later that Isaac realized that he was the sacrifice. And as a young teenage boy against this old man, you know what? He didn't have to be if he didn't want to be. You hear me? He could have definitely outrun his father. He could have definitely beat up his father. He could have definitely held his father away, but his father, being, of course, the representation of God, offering his only son, he being the representation of Jesus Christ, willingly laid down on the altar for his father. He wasn't a surrender, he was a sacrifice. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus didn't surrender to Calvary. Jesus didn't say, okay, Roman soldiers, you got me. Let's go. No. He sacrificed. He went willingly on his own accord. Yes, they took him. Yes, they put him on the cross. Yes, they whipped him. They beat him. But it didn't have to happen. It was something he willingly done. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar verse in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We live our lives every day in hope of want, in hope of getting what we want, taking our want and trying to make it a reality. And God says, you know what? If you seek me, everything that you really, really want in life, you're going to get.
Good.
It may not be in the form that you think it might be. It may not be gift wrapped exactly like you think your gift ought to be wrapped, but it'll be exactly what you want. We have students that have come to college here, students that we have met on tour, students that we have met in conferences and camps that we have begged and we tried to get them to surrender their life to the Lord, to give their life as a sacrifice to God. And some will do it, many don't, most don't. Many of you here today, you are here just trying to finish college, you have no idea what you want done with your life, but you have never truly sacrificed your life and your gifts and your talents to the Lord. We all here today have the same opportunity to give ourselves to God. We all have an opportunity to do so. You want to give God something good for Christmas? How about you?
Good.
How about you? Hey, ladies, you sang up here an excellent job and a beautiful job, actually. Man, I could have heard that song a dozen times more today. God has given you talents and he's given you abilities. What are you doing with them?
Good.
What are you doing with them? Let me just give you a few thoughts, three thoughts this morning. Number one, give the best part of your life to God.
Amen. Good.
This is the best part. Your life's going to go like this. You've got a zeal, and you've got ability, and you've got strength, and you've got endurance right now. And pretty soon you'll get maturity. Pretty soon you'll get experience. Pretty soon you'll gather knowledge and wisdom, and you will in just a few years reach a zenith of your life. And then you'll get into your 50s and all of a sudden your health will start to wane a bit. You'll not have the energy that you had in your 30s. You'll have wisdom, you'll have a lot of skill, you'll have a lot of ability and a lot of experience that you will help others with, but the physical doing you're going to lose in a matter of time. So my challenge to you today is, while you got it, use it. Because you're going to get 60 years of age one day, and you're going to come to a place where you love serving God and you love doing what you're doing, but you're going to wish that you could do it for a lot longer. And if I may brag on God a little bit, I remember giving my life to God as a teenager, and I'm glad that every season of my life, I can honestly say every day has been used for the Lord, but every season of my life has been, and I'm glad that I look now back at the prime time of my life, I didn't waste any of it. I'm glad that at a time of my life when I can do all the all-nighters and I can paint buildings and I can work all day and all night and get up and do it again, I'm glad those days were done for the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad those abilities and talents that God may have given me were at a time in my life where they were best used. Now, I still plan on finishing well and finishing strong, but I know for a fact that I will never be able to do as much as I could. And you will all be at that point in time one day. So now while you can, do.
Amen.
Now while you can, you know what? Knock on those doors.
Amen.
Every time you walk into church and you pass the wheelchair of a Randy Rogers, you ought to say, you know what? I can, he can't.
Good.
And you ought to thank God that you can, and you ought to ask God to give you more.
Amen.
Ask God to show you how you can do more. It's sad that we have kind of almost beat young people up to give of their life to the Lord when every part of their life ought to be a sacrifice to him.
Amen.
Give the best part of your life to God. Keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself healthy. Number two, keep yourself polished. So what do you mean, Brother Eddie? You know what? You're going to get your talents and your abilities, but only you can make what you are and what you do better. You music majors, you play the piano, get better at it. Every time I pass a young boy or young lady playing an instrument, they're sitting down at a piano someplace, Brother Quotes, I always listen for a moment, and quite often I'll ask, are you taking lessons? Ah, I used to. I said, you play pretty well. Yeah, I like playing. How come you're not taking lessons? And I usually get on them. I said, God gave you an ability. Why aren't you using it?
Good.
Why aren't you making it better? Do you realize there are many of us that would love to be able to sit down and play the piano? You can. Do you know that there are churches all over, and we go to them on tour to where when our tour group comes in, it's the first piano player they've had in a long time?
Aye.
Do you realize that you could be used one day in a great way to serve the Lord with that talent one day?
Yeah.
By the time I'm done, I'm making them feel pretty small. And you know, my wife did that to a girl in Michigan one day, and the next year we came back, and she just was learning, and she, you know, several years later, she ran into my wife, and she says, you know, I thank you for telling me that. She says, I've become an accomplished pianist. And we play for our church. We're involved in our church, and you really got on me about continuing my piano lessons. Take what God has given you. Take that talent. Take that ability. If God has called you to preach, God has given you the ability to preach. You know, study hard.
Amen.
Learn the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, make your Bible classes. And when you listen in chapel and in church services, listen, trying to gain as much Bible knowledge as you can. In Proverbs 25, it says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. You're not just a vessel. Become a vessel for the finer.
Amen.
Become something that's polished, something that is usable, something that is pure and holy and set apart for a specific duty. And number three, make ready a prepared sacrifice. That's not a redundant statement. Make ready a prepared sacrifice. You ought to live every day preparing yourself to be sacrificed for God.
Amen.
The talents, the abilities, the opportunities that God has given you. The folks, you kids that have traveled on tour, and those of you that have made tour for this coming summer, you're going to receive abilities and opportunities to serve the Lord in ways that others will never get to. You'll be able to minister to churches and to encourage young people in ways that very few ever get the opportunity to do. And you have spent a lifetime acquiring abilities and a talent now that gets to be shared by others. Give your talents to the Lord.
Amen.
Make one day a sacrifice. Don't make God beat you in the head and make you come and give it to Him. Give Him that opportunity. Study your talent, study your Bible, develop your character.
Amen.
Continue your purity of life and make your life as holy as it has been and keep it that way.
Good.
Extend your knowledge of God, keep your finances in order so that you can serve Him right out of the gate. As soon as you get out of college,
Amen.
Get your finances in order so that you can jump into the ministry.
Good.
You know, I can't predict where you're going to be and what you're going to do for the Lord. But you can prepare for an offering. You can prepare right now to make that offering for God.
Amen.
I've seen others like Ted Spear that came through this college and, you know what, I graduated from University of Virginia Tech. Thank you, Virginia Tech. Already with a degree. But you know, he prepared his life to one day sacrifice it to go to Ghana. I mean, and now he's taken those abilities and all that learning and all that those talents and working in the chapels and building chapels in Chicago and serving. And now he's in Ghana using his talents and abilities for the Lord. And don't tell him I said this, but I believe with all my heart, one day they're going to be writing books about him. And all he ever did was he gave his abilities and kept him so ready. And when God says, hey, Ted, I need you. I never saw a surrender in Ted. But I saw him sacrifice everything that he had.
Man.
Good. His life in the United States. His knowledge from Virginia Tech. His schooling. No doubt had the mind and the character to make a lot of money. That didn't mean anything. When Isaac laid down on that altar, when he laid his body down there, you know what? He wasn't thinking about his future anymore. Because it was about over. He wasn't thinking about his investments. He wasn't thinking about flipping houses. He wasn't thinking about making money and where he was going to live and what kind of house would he have and who he was going to marry. All of that went away when he laid down his life. To sacrifice it.
Good.
And to obey his father.
Right.
When you sacrifice something, there's no future plans. There's only his plans. When you go like this to the enemy, you know what? You have no future but theirs. And when you surrender, sacrifice your life to God, you have no future but God's. God has never messed up a future. God's never messed up a life. God's messed up a lot of plans, though. He's messed up a lot of hopes. He's messed up a lot of dreams. But he's never shortchanged any of us.
Amen. Good.
I look back at my life, and I believe God has blessed me far than I can possibly even have ever considered. When God asked for my life, I felt like the lady who gave two mites had far more than I had to give. And I still feel that way. Whatever God has done with me, I look out here and I see the abilities and talents sitting here looking at me. Far more than what I had when I sat here. And I just can't imagine what God could do with a room full of young people that are willing sacrifices.
Amen.
And last, God gives us these things with a plan and hopes of getting it back. God gave you the talents. God gave you the opportunity. God gave you the abilities in hopes of you giving it back to Him. But instead, with this I can make money. With this, Satan comes up and says, wow, you've got a bright future ahead of you. Hey, you're smart. You know, you can make far more money going in business and doing this than you can serving the Lord.
Well, come on.
And for the first time in Satan's life, he's telling the truth. But you will not be blessed.
Right.
And you will not be fulfilled until you've done what God has done, told you to do. And that's by giving back to Him what you have been given from Him. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God gives them to us. Every ability and talent that you have, every person out there that has an ability and a talent, God gave that to them.
Right.
The difference between them and many of you is they won't give them to God.
Well, come on.
They will spend their life making their records. They'll spend their life making their music. They'll spend their life making their businesses really great and big. But they've never given them back to God, and they will never have of any earthly talent and ability. So I believe God gives us things so we, you and I, have something to give back. The opportunities, the talents, the time. Or so also so we can show God that we love the giver more than the gift. You ever wonder why God gave you certain abilities? And that ability that ability that God gave you, if you give it back to God, you're going to show God that, you know what, you love Him more than that gift.
Good.
And I find that when God has that relationship with me, and I have that with Him, that God gives me far more in return.
Amen.
Far more in return.
Right.
Because, you know, when you sacrifice, you don't do it to get return, because you're going to have nothing.
Good.
When you sacrifice, that means you're going to be without. When you sacrifice, that means somebody else is going to have what you have. But there is something that God can do that nobody else can, and God can repay.
Amen.
And you can't understand how that'll happen, and you won't for years to come. But I will testify, it's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it. And God can see also that we are willing to sacrifice over surrendering. I think God's very pleased when a young man or young lady surrenders to the Lord after a battle of some kind. But I think He's far more pleased when we sacrifice.
Good.
We were at school camp one year, and our preacher that year, I won't tell you who it was, but there was a young man that was a top drawer athlete in the school. And this was back in the early days of our school camp. And this kid was wrestling with God. I mean, you talk about a kid that was just on the bubble. But he was a leader. He was not living for the Lord. And he never did. And I called his name to the speaker after about Wednesday and maybe Thursday morning of their school camp. And he said, what'd you say his name was? And I said the name. What was his last name? And I said his last name. He goes, is his dad so-and-so? And I said, well, yeah, it is. He says, He said, his dad and I, we went to Hiles Anderson together back in the early days. He said, we took classes together. We were best friends. We worked together. We've kind of lost track of each other. But his dad and I were best friends in college. And he said, where's his dad now? And I said, well, he's a member of our church. And he said, his boys are struggling. I said, yeah, they all are. And he said, brother, I got to tell you a story. He said, Brother Hiles came to that boy's dad one day and said, called him into his office and said, I'd like you to come work for Hiles Anderson College. And told him what duties he would have. And he said he came back to school and came to class the next morning. He said, last night I had a meeting with Brother Hiles and he asked me to come work for him. He goes, I cannot believe he'd ask me to come work for him. I am so pumped I can't see straight. He said, man, this is a dream come true. And he said, I said, have you told your wife? He goes, no, as soon as I get home, because I got home late and she was already in bed, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell her tonight what Brother Hiles had asked me. He went home and he told his wife. And her face and countenance changed and dropped. And he said, what's the matter? She said, there's no way. There's no way you're going to work. We can't live on what they pay. And there's no way I want you working there. And he didn't. And he never has. And he is probably in his late 60s today, never having the opportunity to give his talents and time to the Lord. All because of a paycheck. All because of a paycheck. My first year working as a youth pastor here, I was paid $9,000 a year. You say, well, back then it was a lot of money. No, it wasn't. Back then, that was a love offering. That wasn't a salary. But I was tickled to death. I was tickled to death. I was glad to have that opportunity.
Amen.
You're going to have to make those choices one day, folks. You're going to have to take that time, that talent. I decided as a senior in high school, before I went to bed every night, I gave everything that I had to the Lord. I would go through my room. I would look out the window of my car. Everything that I have belongs to God. When I got married, I gave my wife to God. When we had children, I gave my children to God. When I bought a house, my house became God's. I said, God, that's your house. You want to burn it down? That's fine by me. It's yours. God, that's your car. I'll use it for soul winning. I'll use it for your work. If you put it in an accident, that's fine by me. It's your car. I'll take care of it. I'll keep it clean. I'll keep it polished. But God, it's yours. Everything that I own belongs to God. I've been around some folks that are particular about their tools and about the things that they have. And they don't let other people borrow them because they're theirs and blah, blah, blah. You know, everything I have belongs to God. And I'm going to tell you something. You will come to a place and time in your life when you give everything sacrificially to God. You'll live in a place where you don't have to worry about your stuff anymore. So many of you are worried about where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, what job are you going to have. You don't have to worry about that if you give it to the Lord.
Amen.
If you sacrifice, and then your future, you don't have one. You don't have one. He does. And I would much rather have his than mine. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. We thank you for your goodness. May we give for Christmas ourselves to you. You gave up an awful lot for us, and I thank you for that. God, may we give what little we have back to you and not think that what we have and what we are is so special. For this we ask. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're at the altar, continue to be here. I wonder, and wasn't planning on asking this question, but is there a young man here that feels God's called you to preach? And it's not that you've been fighting, you've just been praying about it. How many of you, if you're like that, would let me pray with you about it? Would you just slip your hand up? I'm not saying you're surrendering to preach, but I want to pray with you about it. Maybe God's called you into full-time service and you feel that's the direction. Or maybe that's maybe you just never have given your all to the Lord. You've just never given him everything. This is your last semester in school, but not because you don't want to come back, because you're done. What's the use? Maybe God needs not just a little more of you. He needs all of you. He needs all of you. I look at the Kirk Beards, the Todd Pointers, and I remember distinctly the days that they gave everything to God. The Mark Duffs. I remember when Mark Duff came forward, was going to IU up here in Gary. His freshman year. I remember him coming to me. He says, I'm going to Hiles Anderson. And I said, what are your parents going to say? Doesn't matter. It's what God wants for me to do. Serving under three pastors now. God prepared him. And you know what? He kept his life shiny to where now he's pastor of a large church in Florida. You know, you never lose when you sacrifice to God. You gain. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this student body. I sure do love them. Bless them for the time, their talents. Use this group of young people in a great, mighty way. For this we ask. In your name we pray. Amen.